Winter's Kiss by C.K. Part 2. Wayne thought the night was over, and he had struck out, as he had predicted he would, when she suddenly turned back to him, seeming to have come to some conclusion of some sort. "The night is young, and it started snowing. First snowfall of the season. Come, let's go for some coffee." It was a command, not a request, as if she took it for granted that he would obey. She shrugged on her magnificent fur coat with matching leather fur-trimmed gloves. Wayne blinked like a deer caught in headlights, sure he had misheard her. Beg pardon? Satomi answered with an impatient gesture of her hand, her heels clicking as she strutted for the door. He scrambled after her, bumping into people as he struggled with his leather coat. In his haste, he almost tripped over his own feet several times. The winter air tore into his lungs like an icy punch. "Gah, it's cold." He fumbled with his coat zipper and gloves, then looked around. "Hey, Satomi, where'd you go?" He was struck with uncertainty, thinking this magnificent creature had played a cruel joke on him. She appeared to have vanished before his eyes, melting into the dark night and gently falling snow. Through the big, thick flakes and passing people, the small glow of a lit cigarette caught his eye halfway down the sidewalk. Satomi. Her almond eyes seemed to glow as she took a deep drag and stared at him as he approached. His heart skipped a beat, and he stumbled, hurrying to catch up to her. She exhaled, turned, and started walking. He came up behind her, huffing and puffing. The sweet cinnamon smell of cloves clung to the cold hair about her. The smell was not as bad as menthol cigarettes, but Wayne found smoking a huge turnoff, and he couldn't keep the disgust or disappointment off his face. "Cloves? Aren't those banned?" Satomi cast him a sideways look, amusement dancing in her eyes. "In America, yes they are. Want one?" She extended a slim silver case from her pocket to him. No thanks, I don't smoke." She pocketed the sleek, small black cigarettes and let silence fall between them as he followed her. "So, how do you get them, then?" "America isn't the whole world, despite what you Americans think. But these? I pulled them out of a magic hat." She laughed once more, and he flushed in embarrassment at her teasing. "Smoking's not healthy. Have you ever thought about quitting?" He was disgusted enough with the habit that it pushed his embarrassment aside enough for him to voice it. "Nope. Ever thought of dieting?" She shot right back in a slightly acidic tone. He winced at that. "Point taken. Sorry. And yes, actually, I have. Lost 30 pounds so far." She snorted delicately and put her nearly smoked cigarette out. "You've still got a ways to go." She paused to scrutinize him, running her penetrating gaze up and down his body, assessing him. He came up very wanting in her appraisal. Wayne stopped short and stared right back at her. She kept walking. Sure, he had put his foot in his mouth several times this evening, but he hadn't meant to, and he had apologized immediately after. Satomi was being deliberately cruel. He waited a few heartbeats as she walked on. "Hey,
Are you going to apologize?
Now she stopped, and her beautiful face looked bored.
No. You're free to leave if you want.
He wasn't going to just slink away. He hurried after her.
That's rude.
Yes, it is.
She shrugged and smirked at him. His gut twisted. He was certain she was toying with him, like a cat clawing at a mouse. Did she mean to be rude, or was she just trying to provoke him? He couldn't figure her out, so he was still willing to play her games.
And yet, you're still here.
It was his turn to shrug and play mysterious, but he was quite sure she could read him like a book and judged him for a fat, desperate fool. The smile she sent him was secretive and pleased, as if she knew, or accurately guessed why he still followed.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The glint in her roguish eyes mocked him. His bladder gave a dull twinge. He'd have to visit the restroom soon. The liquids he had consumed were starting to catch up with him. He had only indulged in one alcoholic beverage as he had to drive, but he had several glasses of water over the course of the evening. He decided he'd just go when they got to a coffee shop. Part of him wished he had worn a diaper, while the other part of him was mortified of the idea of wearing out in public, especially around pretty ladies.
Oh, would you look at that?
Well, I suppose it was only a matter of time before they appeared on store shelves. Satomi was several steps ahead of him, in front of a medical supply store where Wayne bought his diapers. He blushed as he caught up to her and found her staring at packages of adult diapers stacked up in the display window. He had never seen these brands in person before, but they had gotten rave reviews on both diaper fetish sites and medical incontinence forums. They were the first biodegradable, eco-friendly, go-green disposable diapers. Online, they sold like hotcakes and came in a variety of sizes. The company had started off as a baby diaper company, then expanded into adult incontinence products, then eventually started producing baby print adult diapers due to numerous customer requests. The only drawbacks to them were the bulk and the noise.
I can't believe they have these here,
Wayne blurted out, then went beet red in embarrassment and wished the earth would just open up and swallow him up. He coughed, spluttering, and cleared his throat noisily.
My friend buys those for his kid. In baby sizes.
Satomi shot him a quick look, as if she didn't believe him.
My nephew wears those. Great absorbency and containment, especially for extended wear. I'll have to remember I can get them here, and not just online.
The mental image of Satomi in a low-cut, tight white nurse's dress with white stilettos and her slim, elegant hands reaching for the tapes on his diaper popped into his head, and he felt his pants tighten. He coughed loudly some more, grateful for a long coat.
So, how old is your nephew?
18.
Oh.
If Satomi kept her nephew in such thick diapers, especially for extended time, Wayne concluded the boy must wear them not just for night. Absorbency and containment. Maybe the boy needed his diapers for more than just wedding? Wayne suppressed a shudder. He wasn't a fan of messing in his diaper. He had never had the guts to try it. He'd put oatmeal down the back of his diaper and enjoyed the sensation, but messing was out of his league. The pretty, effeminate boy in the locket had not looked mentally disabled. The boy must have a physical disability.
Wayne fiddled with his thumbs, feeling guilty about that flash fantasy of Satomi changing him. He felt guilty for getting off on diapers when there were people out there who needed them.
My baby isn't slow. He's just a little damaged emotionally and physically.
For once, Satomi seemed at a loss for words, her perfect features scrunched up. She stared up at the diaper display while Wayne stared at her.
He's been that way since his eyes first opened in the hospital ICU.
I'm sorry. Wayne was shocked at this and didn't know what else to say. He wanted to comfort her, but didn't know how. He sensed any offer or gesture of comfort would be sharply rebuffed and her claws would come out once again. Satomi shook her head, brushing his condolences off, and her voice grew soft.
It happened just after New Year's. His mother was murdered, tortured to death by her fuck of the week. A security guard found them, dumped in an old Christmas tree lot. Bodies wrapped in tarp and Christmas lights. My nephew was barely alive.
Satomi's gaze was vacant, like that of a glassy-eyed doll. She stared up at the diapers and snowflakes. She held up one of her leather-clad hands, palm up. Snowflakes danced in circles in her palm, going against the wind in an unnatural rhythm. Wayne stared at her flakes. A cold lump knotted and sank in his stomach. He felt lightheaded and sick at the mention of a mother, child, and Christmas lights. His almost full bladder almost let loose at the sudden shock of it. His bladder muscles squeezed tight, just barely preventing a leak. He felt like he'd been doused in cold water, and his limbs were going numb. A murdered mother and child wrapped in Christmas lights. It couldn't be. Fate could not be so cruel.
What's your last name?
He stuttered out through shock-numbed lips. His voice quivered in trepidation. Satomi blinked and turned to him, thin brows furrowed at his stricken expression.
You mean my family name? Fujiwara.
The cold stone in his stomach sank to the very bottom of his being and dragged his heart down with it. Sweat broke out on his forehead.
Mine's Watts.
A cold, dark light began to glow in her eyes.
You have a brother named Jack?
Wayne nodded miserably.
You have had a sister named Kana.
It was a statement, not a question. Satomi didn't answer. She stared at him, her face cold and her eyes blazing. The wind whipped fiercely, stinging the exposed skin on his face and stealing the air from his lungs. Frost suddenly formed and crackled along the window, obscuring the diaper display from view. Fear spiked through Wayne, and he knew with a sixth sense certainty that he was going to die. Satomi was going to kill him with those horrid, beautiful eyes of hers. They held him spellbound in terror, unable to look away. She blinked. As sudden as the weather change started, it stopped. Big, fat, wet snowflakes drifted down serenely once more. She spun around, away from him.
You're shaking,
Come. Coffee.
Her heels clicked on the salted cement, wet with melted snow. Wayne almost didn't follow her. His gut, the part of him that had been terrified of closet monsters as a child, screamed that he had just narrowly avoided death. He wanted to run back to his car and never see her again. Yet, he couldn't leave this monstrous truth that just revealed itself hanging between them. Wayne's older brother, Jack Watts, had killed Satomi's sister, Kana Fujiwara. If he left now, it would haunt him for the rest of his life. What were the odds of him running into Satomi? Her speed dating was curious enough. And why would she waste her time with a guy like him? Why a woman like her wanted to go for coffee with a guy like him was an enigma in itself. And now this. No, he couldn't walk away.